Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Well, all right, we're going to bring George Kurtz in a couple of minutes. Level two, this is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morency, Sports Grid Radio and Television Network, Sirius XM, Channel 159, the Steamroller with us just for a couple more moments before we bring Kurtz in. So, you know, what do you think about the card tomorrow night, Scott? I know you're looking at that Michigan State and Purdue game. The Spartans are 4.5-point favorites right now, total 148.5 hosting Purdue.
I like Michigan State at home there. This is a defense that's really been good, especially in conference play. They're allowing opponents to shoot less than 40%. They played Illinois twice, Ohio State. None of those games did any of those teams shoot better than 43, and two of them shot under 40. Purdue's coming off that maybe their worst game of the season, that horrible home loss to Wisconsin. They allowed the Badgers to use 61.5% from the field, 40% from downtown. And when they do miss, I have a lot more confidence in Michigan State, who can actually rebound the ball. For Purdue, rebounding has gone from a strength last year with Edie to a weakness this season. I think Michigan State wins comfortably in that one. I've also got A&M.
Mississippi State.
This is Mississippi State team. They're a lot like Oklahoma. They had a great run in the non-con, and then all of a sudden they got to the SEC play, and they've not done well at all. They got off to a real nice start, and they were 14-1 to start the season after they picked up their first two wins there against South Carolina and Vandy. And since then, they've gone 4-6, and they haven't covered at home since the January 4th game against South Carolina. A&M plays another team that plays great defense. You want to give me points with this Aggies team? I'll take them all day long.
Well, you look at tomorrow, we've got Illinois and Wisconsin. You know, I like this Illinois team earlier in the year, but it seems like injuries are just starting to catch up to them. They've had a lot of bad luck this year. And now Merez Johnson is out too, Scott. Like, the injuries just keep mounting for this team.
Yeah, they're running out of horses with that team. And again, I'm like you. I liked that team a lot to start the year. They played very well in the non-con, and they showed something. I watched that. I went to that Mizzou Illinois game, and they looked like one of the best teams in the country there that night against a pretty good Missouri Tigers team.
BYU and Kansas, guys? Like, BYU, Gabe, they're world beaters at home. That's one team, like, they get it done. That's a tough place to play. Kansas, we know that they can play at home, but going on the road, BYU, what are they laying, 2.5? You like the Cougs?
Yeah.
I would lean BYU. Yeah. Kansas can't shoot.
That's exactly
it. They can't. They were a great under team to start the season because they played pretty good defense, and they couldn't shoot the ball to save their lives. This is not a great Kansas team. I don't know how to break it to KU fans, but they're just not a great team. This is probably one of Bill Self's worst teams. I don't see them making their KU run. This is about the time, you know, they will slog around in conference every year, but this is about the time that they have usually step on the gas, and they have not done that this season. I don't think they're going to make a deep run in the tourney, and I think there's a lot, but I think there's probably three teams that are better in the Big 12 than KU right now.
I was watching the game on Saturday night, and I'm a Kansas mark. I always bet on them. Like, I always take a piece of them for a future. And you could tell that even Bill Self knows. Like, basically, I'm not to say Self is giving up on them, but he's kind of, you could tell, he's like, there's nothing I can do. What do you want me to do? Like, he sort of stands there, and he watches it. And it's not like he can coach them out of it. They are who they are. They're not a good shooting team, but that's kind of on Hamino in a sense a little bit. He's got to get a shooter in there, right? You mean they don't. Like, Kansas have always had somebody in the past, and or their big man could pop the threes. And you can't live on Dickinson hitting threes. He's too slow. Like, he's just in the way. And they don't have that, like, pitch. They don't have anyone to pitch it out to for a three. It's just Brick City all the time.
No, they know that they'll double inside. And they know that Dickinson isn't going to be the guy that's going to drive and then pass to the perimeter. That's just not his game. I don't think Bill Self was prepared for Dickinson to suck this much. I really don't. I don't think they had a plan B. They're like, well, what happens if Dickinson sucks? Oh no, he'll be fine. No, seriously, he's gonna suck, and so he has.
Or to be there forever too. It's like Dickinson's gonna stay there until they nudge him out the door. I don't know how many more years. He's got to be coming to an end here soon.
It's like the end of Ferris Bueller. Go home. It's over.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't feel like there's a Kansas run coming, though. It's true. No. Scott Steen. All right, we'll get him out of here. Just a quick update with the games right now. 41-33 for the Arizona Wildcats. We're at the half right now. They're up by 8 on the Baylor Bears. Still close, man. Utah, the Utes are up 2 spot, 57-55. With 4 minutes left and the game that we didn't talk about tonight, Southern are leading Texas Southern right now, 61-55. Scott Steen, the Steen Roller. Where can people find you online, Scott?
You can find me on all the socials at Steen Roller. You can find me over there at our great new website, hitthepick.com.
Hitthepick.com. Great stuff as always, Scott. Thanks for the time.
Appreciate it, boys. We'll see you.
There's Steen Roller.
There's Scott Steen with us. All right, we'll bring George Kurtz in here momentarily. I think Kurtz is ready to go. Well, I want to get to the best of X, and Kurtz is one of the, I don't know, in the 2 percentile that's never seen the show Seinfeld before.
And he's from New York.
Of the American population and the world population.
It's the best. Guy's from New York. He hasn't seen Seinfeld.
We have a Seinfeld-themed best of X tonight. So FAU, Florida Atlantic University, are holding a Seinfeld night. Kramer's actually going to be there in person. Fans can meet Kramer live and in person for photos and autographs. Custom signed Seinfeld poster giveaway available while supplies last. A giveaway of a Pez dispenser.
I like that.
And I like they're honoring because this famous Seinfeld episode where George pretends he was a marine biologist to impress a woman. They're going to honor the Marine Biology Department. I guess Florida Atlantic has a world-renowned Marine Biology Department. So that's the theme of the night. Florida Atlantic's renowned Marine Biology Program will receive a special in-game recognition. this is actually a good one. Although I don't know about bringing Kramer into a basketball game, to be honest.
Yeah, that's a good point, Gabe. That's forgot about the past. Yeah, that's a little dicey.
couldn't get a lane. He's like, God, no, I'm not going to an FAU game. Michael Richards like, yeah, I'll show up. I have no one's called me in 12 years. like out of everyone, like honestly,
you're right. Like even like, Newman.
I'm just saying, if I was in the room at FAU, I'd be like, listen, I like the idea, but let's just get anybody else on the show. Like get Newman or something. Get anybody. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
Joe DiVola.
You're not getting all right. Yes, Costanza's not going to do it. Costanza should have been the one to do it. He's the marine biologist, but exactly. Costanza's not easy to deal with in real life. That guy, Jason Alexander, likes to get paid for everything. Like, he's very litigious. Elaine is super rich in real life. She was already rich. Elaine's family is rich. Julia Louis-Dreyfus's family is rich to begin with. I forget what, like, company they own, but, like she's rich to begin with. She was already rich before. Now she's super rich from Seinfeld, and she's super rich from that show Veep. So there's no way in hell Julia Louis-Dreyfus is wasting her time going to an FAU Seinfeld night. Jerry Seinfeld's like a billionaire. He's not doing that. Like I said, I think Wayne Knight, who plays Newman, would have done it.
I agree. Newman's a better choice. He was the guy.
Yeah. Like Kramer, okay, I guess. Yeah. Like I said, just seems like, I don't know, like... I used to love Kramer too, but like he kind of brought it upon himself. It is what it is. But what I don't understand what Kurtz is.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Even like the damn last 3-4 years of the show is about the New York Yankees as well. Like every episode has a Yankee theme.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I am Morant, so we're kicking it. George Kurtz in the house with us right now. Cam Stewart as well. So, all right, Kurtz doesn't know anything about Seinfeld. We'll see what he knows about the Four Nations Hockey Tournament. George, you're one of the people, oh, the NHL's going to be off for a week and a half here. This is terrible. But this has been much better than NHL hockey. Like, you can't top what we've seen here at the Four Nations. Tonight was a little bit anticlimactic because obviously it was a meaningless game for both teams. Sweden ended up beating the U.S. tonight. But Saturday night with the three fights in 9 seconds. All year, guys, in the NHL this year, there have been five games with three fights in them. So you had three fights in 9 seconds to start. And the Tkachuk brothers, they put their heart on their sleeve. They knew they wanted to send a message, and Canada was up for it. Let's go. Let's fight. That was some real old-school hockey. That reminded me, like, the Quebec Nordiques and the Montreal Canadiens was like that. They got into a fight before the game started once. It was Easter, too. It turned into, like, the East. Remember, it was the Easter Massacre or whatever the hell it was called. Like, it was over the top. Like, they were, like, swinging sticks and going at each other in the hallway before the game, and it spilled out onto the ice and adjourned the game. And the Canadians and Flyers famously had a massive brawl before the game once in the playoffs. But all that stuff was in the 80s, George. That was some real 80s stuff.
You know, I do miss the brawls, right? I mean, full line brawls, team brawls, people hop on the bench. I do miss that. I know it sounds terrible, but I do miss that. And I know there was a certain time ago where the NHL put refs on the ice even during warmups to stop all that, what we're talking about here. So they're going to give out penalties then. But yeah, I do miss that. I was on in-game live, all right, from what, 8 to 12, whatever it was on Saturday. And that was just great. You're like, oh, Matthew Tkachuk and Hagel, right on the face off, they're going at it. That was a good fight, by the way. I give so much props to Hagel. I did not know he could throw him like that. That was a great fight. You're like, all right, that was good. Oh, my God, the other Tkachuk's going at it with Bennett. You know, then JT Miller, who probably picked the wrong guy to go with.
Cole Parayko? That guy's a killer. Yeah. He's big. That was a big man. That guy could have killed him if he watched Gabe. He is a monster, that guy. Like, holy shit.
That was great, though. That was just great. Was awesome. I don't care who won the fight. It was going to be a great game anyway. You know, we were all going to watch it. But that was just, I did not see that cut. All right, one fight, maybe. Three? No way in hell did I expect that to happen. That just really, it's been a great tournament. I said this to you last week, Gabe. I don't know what I expected. And I know it's hockey. I'm going to watch. But then Canada, Sweden, that game one was like, wow. You know, that was hockey. You know, fast, skill, speed, hitting. It had everything. And I was like, oh, this is going to be really good here. And it was great. And I'm happy it was. You know, my only complaint, and I've told you this before, the Russians have to be involved in this. You can't have this kind of tournament and not have Panarin, Kaprizov, Ovechkin, Vasilevsky.
And the Czechs as well. And the Czech Republic. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know it'll be tough, though, because how many more days can you have in this tournament before, you know, the NHL doesn't like it. Oh, we got to extend the season. We got to play so many back-to-back games, blah, blah, blah. I don't care, personally. Three, four more days, fine. Have a couple more back-to-backs.
The next time, though, they're going to be in the Olympics next. So the Olympics is the next one. And and 2028, they're doing a World Cup. So it won't be a Four Nations. It's going to be minimum 8 teams. So Czech Republic, Germany, they were non-committal on the Russian team. But they basically said it'll be minimum 8 teams in 2028. And it'll be in the summer, George. I think it's going to be like in August, this one.
Well, they right can't go back training to camp World opens. Game. I mean, I you probably
yes, they will. They're going to.
That'd be anticlimactic.
Next year, there's no All-Star game. They're in the Olympics. And the year after, there will be an All-Star game. So there's going to be an All-Star game like every 2 years now only. You know what I mean?
I think the next one's is here, right? I think it's at the island at UBS. I believe. So
not this year, but the year after.
Right.
Yeah, because they're going to play the Olympics 2 years, every 4 years, and the World Cup every 2 years. So it'll be an all-star game in between those.
Well, they better get the game better, because it's just going to be the same thing. I'll watch the skills competition. It's somewhat interesting. The game itself, I don't care about 3-on-3 and nobody playing defense and no hitting. I just don't. It's the Pro Bowl all over again.
People need to stop complaining about these all-star games so much, though. Like, they're just...
Well, stop publicizing them, then. I mean,
no, they're just...
They're exhibitions.
They're just for the fans there. It's just, I mean, it's not, right? It's, you know what I mean? It used to be serious. It used to be more serious. Even the NHL, people criticize the NBA to death, all right? The NHL All-Star Game, like you said, Kurtz, is terrible. Like, they legit don't care. It's 3-on-3. They don't really know how to do it. They're passing the puck around everywhere. The problem inherently with the NHL All-Star Game as well, with the 3-on-3 stuff is, NHL players are not showboats. It's the anti-hockey culture. Like, people get mad when you try to do a lacrosse, sort of, they call it the Michigan, whatever. Like, you know what I mean? People get mad after. Oh, you know, like, Don Cherry. Punch him in the face if you ever did that. Like, right? Yeah, exactly. Tortorella, yeah. That's not hockey. And, like, they hate that stuff. So, like, no one wants to be the jerk. Like, no one, like, you know what I mean? It'd be fun to just see Connor McDavid, like a golf shot, you know, hit it in the air and swat it or something.
He's
like,
almost,
you know, he
off,
could do
dude.
All kinds of crazy stuff, but they're not going to do it. They're like, oh, I don't want to show off. It's like, well, it's kind of, we're wasting our time here. It's an all-star game. You're supposed to show off or play it for real, right? They used to play it for real, guys. They used to take it more seriously, the all-star game. There was even hitting.
No one wants to risk injury anymore, so they're not going to do that. Just like the Pro Bowl, you know.
Oh, look at this tournament.
You're not
injuries right now.
But you know how mad we would be if any one of our players, if Austin Matthews took a hit in the All-Star game and was out for the rest of the season, we'd be up in arms. So
people all praise Pete Rose for killing someone in an All-Star game.
Ray Fossey, yeah,
ruined his career.
That's just, they wanted the money back then, right? They needed that extra money, whatever the All-Star winners got here. They don't need that anymore. No one cares.
That's like Buddy Ryan, the coach of the Eagles. Remember, you're a Cowboy fan. He before the game, the season opener, he said, I'll give $1,000 to anybody that lights up Tony Zendetta. And guys on the Eagles said, who? They said, he wants to get the kicker? And he goes, yeah, I'll give $1,000 to anybody that runs the kicker. And they were like, why? They were like, why, coach? Why the kicker? And he said, this son of a bitch missed a kick in the Pro Bowl, and he cost us all the winning bonus.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Reg. I am Redzi. Sports Grid Radio and Television Network, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Coach Mike Sullivan talking to the media now following the 2-1 loss to the Swedes. And he is saying that Brady Tkachuk was held out for precautionary reasons, that it's not a serious injury. He fell into the net pretty hard. Was one of those, didn't appear like he got hurt, but he clearly did. You see, I don't know, I guess he hit his right knee on the goalpost. I would, you know, he's going to be fine to play on Thursday. They held out McAvoy. They held out Austin Matthews as well. The U.S. opened up as like -115 favorites, and it's gone up to -125 right now, which actually does surprise me. After Canada wins today, and, you know, the U.S. are a little bit beat up now. Austin Matthews a little bit beat up. McAvoy's a little bit beat up, but now they do get a full 2 days to rest. What's your pick for Thursday's game, George, right now?
Right now, you pick Canada, right? I mean, until I find out about these injuries, I'm sure they're coming back. You got both Tkachuks out. You mentioned that. McAvoy's out. Austin Matthews scares the life out of me as well. We've heard his upper body soreness all year long with him, and he never comes back right away. It could be just for, once again, this meaningless game. Let's make sure he's healthy and all of that. But it's never that way with Austin this season so far. So I need to see about these injuries first. If I had to bet right now, I'm betting Canada. That being said, I bet on Canada Saturday, too, and I lost that.
Wouldn't you think, though, that whoever sort of won on Saturday was going to lose tough to beat the same team twice in this term. Like, you know, it sucked for Canada to lose, but I think it actually could help them in the long run. Like, they were super focused, like, in practice yesterday. They were dialed in today. It puts them into that sort of real playoff mode, George. Now the USA are going to have to find that again after sort of mailing it in tonight.
And let's also not forget, Kim McCarr didn't play Saturday. All right, he'll be back. Or he came back tonight. He'll certainly going to play Thursday as well here. And that's a huge addition. Yeah, I'm not saying they would have won Saturday if Kale McCarr played, but that's a monster addition they didn't have. So he'd get the puck out of the zone over and over again. So he'll help there as well. I said it before. I think Canada has the better offense. It is top-heavy. I don't think it's demonstrably better, but better. I think they have the better defense. Once again, not demonstrably better, but better. The advantage for USA is goaltending. You know, it's going to be a week since Hellebuck's played, or 5 days. It's going to be a while. Maybe he can be a little rusty here. That being said, I don't trust Binnington as far as I can bowl him. But that's Team USA's advantage. You know, and Hellebuck's been very good. But it's in the back of my mind. All right, he generally doesn't play well when it matters. Well, it matters Thursday. All right, let's see. You know, if that first puck goes in for Canada, or, you know, first couple of shots, like, oh, here we go. But he makes a good save too early. Then maybe it will be Team USA's night. Right now, I bet Canada, but I really want to wait to see who's going to play for Team USA before making a final determination.
Binnington on Saturday, the goals that he let in were definitely stoppable. But at the same point in time, he also made some pretty big saves for them. I do give, obviously, you know, you have to say Hellebuck has the edge, but I don't think Canada's players are worried about Binnington. I'll put it that way. Right? It is what it is. I think they know, he's going to give up a couple of goals. We have to score. Like, Canada, quite frankly, didn't play that well against the U.S. as the game went on. Like, they were so intense early. Another thing for Canada, too, is not really being called out much. A lot of guys have disappeared, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, really, it's been McDavid, McKinnon, and Crosby taking turns carrying this team. Just point blank. Mitch Marner's been a disappointment. They finally broke the lineup, which I thought Cooper did a great job today. It was a slick line move to put Sidney Crosby with Braden Point and Mark Stone. And, you know, like Crosby, McDavid is so aggressive. You need guys that are going to attack the net, right? And Marner was floating around too much, right? There's been times on the back check when you watch him. It's just sort of like not all in. It's crazy after all these years, he doesn't get it. Like, I don't know, maybe it'll carry over a little bit. Like, a good example is, guys, on Saturday night, there was a play, man. I think it was Braden Point, actually, too. Canada had it was a scary, like, I saw it developing at center ice. And I was like, I think Canada could score here on this. And the way it was setting up, man, and Point, I think Point was coming down the right side of the ice, and it was going to set, he was about to flick it to the center of the ice. And there were two Canadian players there. And out of freaking nowhere, man, Austin Matthews, appeared. Like, just boom. And he just simply, little thing of the stick, broke the play up, puck got out of the zone.
Great call, dude.
And I was like, you know what? Years ago, Austin Matthews isn't doing that.
The guy's not doing it.
Like, Marner, no. There's times you see him floating around at center ice still. It's like, dude, the puck's not at center ice, Mitch. The puck's in our zone. Get your ass back here. Austin Matthews figured it out. Marner has not.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. We're talking Four Nations, college basketball, and more. Right now, I want to get into some baseball as well with Kurtz, as pitchers and catchers reported, and there's never a dull day in New York around the Yankees. Elected Aaron Judge was asked if he spoke to Juan Soto, and he said, I called him, and he changed his number. He didn't give me his new number. And he said, I caught up to him after, but it's pretty cold, George. Like, Soto, this guy, like, he really, and Judge was asked, of course, because Soto said, I think I have a better chance of winning the World Series with the Mets. And Judge said, well, I disagree with that. But then Judge said, you know what? He's where he wanted to be, For whatever reason, dude, Soto just wanted to be a freaking New York Met, bro. And he used the Yankees just to move to New York for a year to get there. You know what I'm saying?
He was a mercenary with the Yankees, what he ended up being here. And listen, I'm not angry about it. It's not like he took less money to go to the Mets, right? He's getting over $800 million, I think, by the time all the incentives come.
No, and he never promised the Yankees anything all year to their fans. Never either, right? He never said, I love it here. He always said, we'll see at the end of the year. It's a business.
And he gave the Yankees a great year. It was a great year to watch him and Judge it back to back. It was a lot of fun. I hold no ill will against Juan Soto. That being said, it's weird, you know. The Mets have a better chance to win the World Series. Don't the Dodgers play in the National League? Aren't the Phillies in your own division better than you? Maybe the Braves are better than you? So, no, you don't have a better chance, all right? You don't want to play. Listen, you took the most money. They offered the most. I have no problem with that. Most of us would do the same. So you did what you did here. That doesn't bother me here. You know, maybe you didn't like the Yankees. Maybe those incidents we talked about, that, you know, with the luxury box and throwing his family his members mother. Out or whatever. Right. So maybe that did tick you off. You know, maybe it didn't. You know, like I said, maybe you wanted to be back in the National League with the Mets. That's where you wanted to be all along. Who knows? Doesn't bother me. He's gone. Yankees will be, well, maybe just fine. Hey, Stanton's already hurt. Shocking.
At least he's getting out of the way early, right? You still got a month before the season.
Anybody believe he starts the season? He says he hasn't swung a bat in 3 to 4 weeks. And he's got, his words, what? A lot of pain in both elbows. I mean, why? I mean,
yeah, that doesn't sound good.
No. Just when Yankee fans were sort of on his side again because he had a great
That's the thing. He played good. Exactly. Yeah. And now this, like, he just, right when he's there, and then
it's
gone.
February 17th.
Yeah, you're right.
It's like, it's just like, you know, I'm just. I don't know what the hell. And maybe Dominic Smith will play outfield and DH some. Oh, yippee-yay. You know, a guy who's 10 years past his prime. Wonderful. So, I just find it strange because like I said, Stanton was great during the postseason. Like, oh, you know, if he can play 125 games this year, he'll hit 40 homers, and he's already hurt. You probably won't see him till May.
And last time we spoke, we were speaking about, Marcus Stroman. I'm surprised he showed up when he did. He didn't have to show up till the 22nd. So I was surprised he showed up, but then he shows up and they tell him, all right, you're going to be in the bullpen. And he goes, no, that's not happening, which, you know, they're going to have to figure something out. And I believe he will end up being on another team before the season starts. But Boston have a similar situation going on right now. And you brought it up last week, Kurtz, with what are they going to do right now defensively? And Rafael Devers is not happy. And he basically said, I'm not moving. So, like, he told him point blank. He said, I'm not moving. Devers told him, third base is my position. I've made it very clear when suggesting would he move to designated hitter. I told him, no, I'm a third baseman. I think we have a hell of a team, and I'm grateful ownership for the moves they made, but third base is my position. I don't know what their plans are. I made it clear my desires, and whatever happens, we'll see. Alex Cora says he has a lot of pride. We know that. He feels like he's the third baseman. He's going to work out as the third baseman. And we're going to make the decisions accordingly here. It's not about Bregman or Devers or Cora. It's what's best for the Boston Red Sox. Whatever decision we make is going to be for the benefit of the team. Then Cora basically spells it out and says, because Devers says that he was promised, that he was basically told he's the third baseman. I don't know if you saw, Kurtz, that Cora said the people that made him that promise are no longer here. That promise doesn't stand anymore. You as a Yankee fan have to have a grin on your face. Trouble in Boston right now, Kurtz.
I think this is all just talk. All right. And what I mean by that is Devers is not playing third base. All right. He's a bad third baseman. Anyway, he's just bad defensively. He's a great hitter, but bad defensively. It makes no sense to have Devers play third. Bregman plays second, so now you're weaker at second base, too, because he's not a second baseman. And then you don't play your top prospect.
You know, so Christian Campbell put Devers, is a, exactly. They've got a prospect that they want to put in. Yeah, but
Christian,
you know,
Campbell
what?
Is a legit prospect.
It's one thing to take a guy and say, listen, you got to move positions, right? And Jeter didn't want to do it either, remember? Jeter was like, I ain't moving, right? So this stuff, and I know Devers ain't Jeter, but I'm just saying, this isn't new, this stuff. That's one thing, Kurt, to say to a guy, listen, we're moving you, whether you like it or not. We're going to move you to your position here. It's another thing to take the glove out of the guy's hand. He's 28 years old, bro. Like, it's an insult to him. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Another problem could be Bregman might only be there for 1 year. He can opt out. And then how did
yeah, so you're gonna piss Devers off.
Yeah, you might go back to third. Can you go back to third? It's okay. You know, your glove's fine. So that's a problem as well. Like I said, hey, Red Sox, you got to deal with it. And this is something, by the way, you signed Bregman, so you had to know this was going to be an issue. Mm-hmm. All right. But if they want to be with the best team they can be, that's Bregman at third, Devers at DH, and Campbell playing second base when he's ready, whether it's April opening day, May 1st, after Super 2, whatever it might be. Campbell is a legitimate top prospect. This kid's going to be good, and he'll make the Red Sox better.
And the fact that Cora said that the promise that was made to you, the people aren't here anymore that made you that promise, they're going to move him, right? And this is, listen, I get it. There's two ways of looking at it. You know, should he be looking for the betterment of the team? A classic example, Kurtz and Cam, but Kurtz, look at Mookie Betts. No ego, right? Like, if they told Mookie Betts you're the catcher, he'll be like, all right, I guess so. I'll learn to catch. Okay. And I like what he said. He goes, I don't look at it like, he said, I like the challenge. He goes, it's fun to, like, play in a new position. It keeps me alert. He looks at it differently than other people. Like, dude, he's played shortstop. He's played second base. He's played center field. He's played right field. It's insane.
I'm a Yankee fan. Mookie Betts has been on the Red Sox, and the Dodgers who just beat the Yankees in the World Series. Betts is one of my favorite players. All right, flat out, because of what you're talking about here. He is he's a great player, future Hall of Famer, but he's also a team player. He'll do whatever it takes for the team to win. Like I said, you need me to play catch?
Yeah, look, he was the leadoff hitter. He lost his leadoff spot. Yep. He didn't cry about it. He goes, you know what? Right. Nah, it's better with Ohtani leading off. He's better than me.
Yeah, guys,
A lot of respect for that. I don't want to bury Devers. He may just be – they just signed Bregman a couple of days ago. Maybe it takes him a little bit to get over it and realize, all right, Bregman's a better third baseman than I am. You know, he's on the team. Better for us. We probably make the playoffs now. You know, maybe it just takes him a little bit here. But, you know, if he's going to be this way and be cranky all spring training and then be a problem all season, that's not good.
The only way it works out, right, Arizona with a big dunk. They're kicking ass right now. They're up 53-39 on Baylor, 12 and a half minutes left. If he's playing DH and he's smoking the ball, maybe he'll get happy. If he's strong, you know what I mean? Like, you're playing with fire here. This could be a situation. It could just blow up where he goes, you know, you guys got to effing trade me. I don't want this. I'm not happy. Like, he, you know, he could sort of implode. It's still early. Let's see how it plays out. But baseball players are pretty protective about their spots. It's a pretty individualistic sport. You know what I'm saying? Like Devers.
Yankees need a third baseman.
I'm the third baseman, like he said. He goes, that's my position. Like, he's not even hiding it. He goes, no, I'm the third baseman, not Bregman. And he goes, I don't know where they're going to put him. They're going to put him at third base, bro, like you said, Kurtz. That's where they're going to put him.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Moretzi. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people, the bust them, and everybody else in between. College baseball has started, and Major League Baseball preseason games set to begin as well. Kurtz, do you lay it down? Listen, you're going to have to lay it down on something, Kurtz. You're going through hockey withdrawals, although hockey's going to be back on Saturday. Baseball, spring training, Cubs and Dodgers, they're playing, they're opening up the regular season. They're also opening up against each other this Thursday. You got the Rays and Yankees on Friday, Kurtz, as well.
Yeah, it's the first game on TV here, too. So this idiot will be watching the Rays-Yankees at 1 o'clock Friday afternoon. I think the Yankees are on all weekend, too. So will I mean, listen, at the games on TV, which is probably on the MLB Network. I am. I mean, it won't be a
I'm going to take the Rays.
Somebody's going to be watching the game.
Give me the Rays.
The Rays?
They're a stock young team. They'll try more.
Actually, it'll be a home team for both. The Rays are going to play at that stadium all year long.
That's a good point.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting. I'm probably gonna take the Yankees. I'll have no reason not to take the Yankees, because I don't know if I can give you a reason to take either team here. I do think as preseason, as spring training goes along here, that there is an advantage here, because you could find some lineups that are like, oh, this visiting team that wanted nobody. They're like one starter, and they have a whole bunch of, not even their top prospects. I think that those teams you can hammer against during spring training, but that's more in the second week of March.
Not always, though. Not always. Like, the Major League Baseball preseason games are strange entities. Also, another thing is, too, like, they – because a lot of starters, a lot of stars aren't good in the spring training. So people get fooled by it. They're like, oh, they're, look, these guys are playing. It's like, yeah, this guy doesn't care. Right? Like, players – Major League Baseball players, you guys know, like, they're working on things, almost like a golfer, right? He's like, you know what? I'm just going to try to pull the ball now, or I'm just going to try to do this. Yeah. I'm just working on this.
They're not 25 changeups because exactly. He wants to work on his changeup. It's changeup. It's changeup. Yeah,
they're not like, oh, I got to get a hit here. It's more so, all right, you know what? I want to just get – I'm going to see if I can hit to the left field here. Like, you know what I mean? They'll do – Guys are just, like, doing things. My whole thing with this, I always tell people this, with preseason baseball, you've got to just follow the hot teams and fade the cold teams. It sounds simple, but it's true. Every year, guys, in the Cactus League and the Grapefruit League, there's going to be a couple of teams that you're going to be like, oh, God, man, the Pittsburgh Pirates are 13-3. Right, or the Kansas City Royals, or whatever. It's going to be like random. It could be random teams. Like, the Athletics have been good in the spring training before. Like you just get these random runs of teams that are good in spring training, and you get other teams, whether they're trying or not trying, they're just losing. Like, and they don't really care. Like, if there's not a sport that cares less about results in exhibition than, like, hockey, teams will get mad. Like, they you know, they don't want to lose every preseason game. NBA is kind of weird. I never understood it with the NBA. The NBA players play more in the preseason than they do in the regular season. it's very bizarre. Like, the NBA preseason, you figure no one would play. It's like, no, they actually do. Like, the starters play, like, 25 minutes in the preseason, and the games are whatever. They go over or whatever. They're kind of like normal games. Baseball is all just, like, double-A guys and A-ball guys. And, like, do you really think the Dodgers are going to care, Kurtz and Cam, about spring training? You know what I'm saying?
They just want to get through it healthy.
They're going to play all their guys from Oklahoma City for the most part. Mm. Like, they're going to want to see, all right, who's going to make the, you know, they've got a roster spot or two available maybe down the road. Like, all right, which pitchers will we call up first? Like, they're so set, right? So it's just very random, guys. Ride the hot teams and fade the cold teams. Pretty simple.
It is. I think there's a lot of guys, Gabe, that have to prove themselves. Like Bichette of the Blue Jays, like, you have to look at certain players, too. They have something to prove in the preseason. There's certain guys on certain teams and stuff. And yeah, it's just one of those things where it's more important for certain people, like guys with his type of situation. Right, Kurtz? Like, don't you agree? Like, you got to get off to a hot start because there's so many things going on there.
Absolutely. Someone's something to prove here, or someone's fighting for a job. Those guys are taking it seriously, right? Or somebody who's maybe wants to show himself for a trade. You know, Marte of the Mets, who doesn't have a job anymore, or at the very best is on the or I guess worse, on the wrong side of a platoon with Winker there. So maybe he wants to showcase himself for a trade to get out of there. There are guys you can look at there. Absolutely. Like I said, this week, Gabe's right. All right. There's a little jonesing going on here. There's nothing tomorrow for me, nothing Wednesday for me before we get to Canada, USA on Thursday. There's probably a little bet that'll happen, especially before the Yankee, because I am going to watch that. So, yes, I'll put something on. It won't be anything massive.
Golf picks, George. I'll send you a couple of guys for the in Mexico.
Lisi convinced me last week to make a bet. It can happen. All right? It does happen.
Hey, got to bet on something.
Man, the Dodgers price right now, plus 250 only to win the World Series.
I know. It's like, what? When have you seen that before? Like, that's wow. Plus 250.
Man, and then there's crazy. A drop-off to the Yankees at plus 800. The Braves are plus 900. I think people are kind of sleeping on the Braves a little bit, but
I don't. I think the Braves are not as good. I'm worried about the Braves.
The Braves, I think they're good, but the problem is it's not kind of like bad luck now. They just have injury-prone players. You know what I'm saying? Like, they, you know, they're the same guys get hurt all the time. And, you know, like Acuna, is he going to stay healthy? Speaking of which, Mike Trout is moving positions.
Right field,
Speaking of which, with Trout, like, if that's one guy that should just go to DH. Like, I don't know why they just don't, you know, skip directly, go straight to jail Monopoly style on this. He's like, well, I think I'll be healthier if I play right field. It's like, what? How much of a difference is it really? You know what I mean? I get it. All right, center field, you're doing a little bit more running.
He's not like, getting hurt fielding balls.
Yeah, exactly. At this point, bro, just say, you know what? Maybe I'll just DH. Hell, Ohtani did it. Speaking of pride and stuff, right? You know, Ohtani doesn't like sitting on the bench all the time. The guy wants to play. Like, he can play the outfield easily. But it was for the good of the team, the injury and stuff. If I was Trout, I would think long and hard. And if I was the Angels, I'd tell him. I'd sit down and say, listen, we want you. We want your bat, bro. We don't care about the glove. We want you hitting the ball four times a game all year. Wouldn't you just move him to DH?
I'd want him to move. I think you already said that. I don't think he wants to move. And I don't think the Angels are in any kind of position because they're not going anywhere. They're not going to make the playoffs again. So you have to make sure. Maybe Trout knows that. Why should I do that when I know we're not going to the playoffs anyway?
Well, Rendon's hurt now again already. that's like one of the worst contracts in history. Yeah, but I think the Angels, like I said, I like their win total. I think they can get to 72 wins.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Baylor and Arizona. Baylor chipping away at the lead. They were down double digits. They were down about 14-15 at one point. I think it was 49-34. I think that's about like as high as it got. And it's actually it's 55-49 right now. The Baylor Bears have cut the lead to 6, and there's 8.5 minutes left. The crowd is very engaged. Baylor's players are into this. And Arizona just turned the ball over and gave the ball back to Baylor right now. So this should be a pretty close finish down the stretch. We're on the Baylor Bears on the money line, but Arizona up 55-49 right now with 8:24 left in the game. So tomorrow night's college basketball. NBA is off. NBA is back on Wednesday. Charlotte Hornets and the LA Lakers. And then Thursday, there's a full slate of games. So it's just college basketball tomorrow, and we've got the Four Nations, and George Kurtz with us, and I guess we'll speak Thursday, actually, Kurtz, during or after the hockey game. So your prediction as of right now is Team Canada.
Yeah, I took them on Saturday. I'm not going to go away from it. Team USA is really banged up here. Cale Makar back for Team Canada. I think it's hard not to to pick Canada there. So, yeah, right now I'm on Team Canada. And I do like the point you brought up earlier. Not so sure if it really means anything, but it is hard to beat the same team twice in the same tournament back-to-back here. It is in Boston. So the fan, you know, well, Team USA, almost said we, but I don't play with Team USA. But they'll have the home ice advantage there. Maybe that helps there. But a close game, I don't think it'll be a blowout. But right now, almost the same score we saw on the Saturday game, but this time reversed towards Canada, 3-1, 3-2.
I don't think that there's going to be – I think there's going to be a ton of Canadian fans at the game. I think, like, they're going to travel well. Like, they were there. Like, our boy Andrew McInnes is going. He's got a couple of tickets. Like, there's going to be a lot. Like, I think it's going to be, like, 50-50, actually. But I brought this up earlier, Kurtz. I don't know how it made you feel, too, because, listen, Canada and the U.S. have been, you know, friends for hundreds of years. And, you know, this booing stuff wouldn't have happened. It's all about Trump and his tariff stuff, right? He keeps ripping up free trade agreements that have been made. Like, he's talking about getting ripped off. It's like, dude, you made the last contract because you didn't like the previous one. You made it just like 4 years ago. And here he is ripping them up again. You know, he's calling the Prime Minister of Canada, you know, governor all the time and stuff. So there's a reason for it, right? And I saw there was a – I don't like it personally, but it is what it is. Because I knew it was just going to upset the U.S. team and motivate them. It how can it not, right? It just, and they talked about how it did, and they, you know what I mean? They fed off of it, and I think the same thing, it could backfire, George, because there's no way in hell they're not going to boo the Canadian anthem on Thursday. They're going to boo it, and I think it'll just motivate Canada in the same way it motivated the U.S. players, to be honest. Like, I told Canadians online, I said, if you really want to, like, not screw yourself, just be silent. You know what I mean? If you boo it, it's going to piss them off, and it did. I think the same thing's going to happen on Thursday, but in a reverse.
Oh, I would assume you're right. I'd be almost surprised if you're wrong. All right, I think they will boo. It's silly in my mind. I mean, everything you said is true. All right, it's all about Trump, whether you agree with them or not. It didn't bother me that the Canada booed the national anthem for U.S., and it won't bother me if they do it the other way around. I don't think you should. You know, one has nothing to do with the other. Politics has nothing to do with hockey. So live and let live here. But, yeah, they're going to boo, and maybe Team Canada will use that as motivation. Then again, I might be, this is for this is for all the marbles, right, the gold medal here. Boy, if you get a national anthem booing one way or the other to really motivate you, there's a problem there. All right, but then again, we see this all throughout sports, right? If you need someone to motivate you for the Super Bowl, something's wrong. All right, so maybe
teams do.
We like false motivation. Yeah, but teams do,
George. Like, yeah, athletes live off that stuff.
I don't understand.
You guys, I don't know if you saw the picture, guys. There's a picture of Jalen Hurts watching ESPN Super Bowl week. Did you see that? Jalen Hurts is walking in a hallway, and there's a TV with ESPN on, and everybody on the panel picked the Kansas City Chiefs to win.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
There's a picture of Jalen Hurts stopping, and his face is sort of like watching it.
I love it.
People after, people said, he noticed. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, people, they're athletes, bro. They feed off of that stuff. You know what I mean?
We live on false motivation. You got to give yourself some extra motivation.
I don't hate Canada. That's the problem. I don't hate Canada.
They don't hate America. It's exactly what Gabe said. It's terrorism.
I'm betting on Canada. Yes. I might bet on the Oilers next week. I might bet on Vancouver. I might bet on Toronto. I can't. The only Canada I hate is probably the Blue Jays because they're in the same division with the Yankees. Probably the only team I dislike.
It was weird. I wore like a million different teams' jerseys at the Meadowlands, at the racetrack and stuff. Once I was wearing a Toronto Blue Jay, Vladimir Guerrero jersey. It's the only time somebody came up to me. How could you effing wear that piece of trash? F the Blue Jays.
Yankee fans don't like the Jays, man. I wore like everything else. No one said anything to me ever. Other than that, you're on your own later.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.